Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration. It's Monday morning, July 17th, 7 o'clock here in the morning. I'm glad to be here. And just waking up, having a coffee, and I hope you had a good weekend. My weekend was actually very quiet. Didn't do too much. It's just, we got a heat wave going on up here with no air conditioner, so it's a little bit warm. So, didn't do much on the weekend, just took it easy. And just sort of, hung out. So, I didn't do any work on my stuff, but otherwise, it wasn't bad. So, this is just a morning reflection, really. Just looking at, as a survivor of abuse, what we can do to sort of get in touch with what we need to work on and how we're feeling and, what areas, that we feel like we might have some work to do, regarding some of the sort of issues that, survivors have to deal with many times. So I like to do this morning reflection. I like to do this show. It sort of keeps me on track and on target to keep going on my healing journey. So, welcome everybody. And the chat room is open. Sometimes I don't have it there, but I do have it open there today with links and to what we're looking at, what we're talking about. So you can always go there if you want to. If you want to log in, you'd have to create a Blog Talk Radio account here. And once you do that, you can actually log into you can just go right into the chat room. I'm glad to be here. And you want to do a safety checklist, if you're a survivor of abuse, make sure you're safe enough to be listening this morning. It's not going to trigger you and send you backward in your healing journey. Nobody wants that. And it's, you want to make sure you're safe enough. And if you're not sure how to do that, because a lot of people just haven't heard about that. And it's, especially if you're just starting your healing journey, you want to be very careful listening to anything like this, my stuff or anybody else's stuff regarding abuse, because it can trigger people and survivors of abuse, that some things are really, hard to deal with. And then you might have a terrible day, just a horrible, week, and you don't want that. We want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening, and you can get that information for ASCA Survivor to Thriver manual. That's ASCA Adult Survivors of Child Abuse Samora Center program. They have a Survivor to Thriver manual, and it's free. You can just look at it online, or you can download it. And then there's also Havoka. They actually have a section on safety too. Lots of places do. So get that information. Learn how to know whether you're safe enough to be listening, right? Just if you're not sure, just turn the show off. You won't be bothering me. And you'd be doing yourself and myself a favor. And also, for anybody else who's listening, make sure you listen at your own discretion, because, the topics of abuse are very sensitive, I'm just desensitized to it because I grew up abused, so I'm not sensitive to the topics of abuse. It's just my life, and it's my life that I've had to deal with. So, I can handle this stuff, but it's, for some people, it just can be very distressing, so you want to make sure you're listening at your own discretion, right? So we'll get right into this. Just want to look at, we'll pick up where we left off with this article. It's under the, it's Havoka, H-A-V-O-C-A. That's Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, Havoka.org. They have an information for survivors tab, and under that there's a section called Feelings. And we're just moseying through this Feelings section. There was only a couple of questions left from the stuff we were looking at on Friday. So we'll move on because I had already kind of dealt with most of that. We'll look at the emotional health section that they've got here next, emotional health. Dealing with emotional distress and its physical effects. Then they have a little section, outer calm versus inner storm, reclaiming emotions, and bargaining with the internal censor, nonverbal methods of releasing emotions, etc. So it's quite a lengthy article, but we'll just start off with dealing with emotional distress and its physical effects by Suzanne Scott and Lynn M. Constantine. And it says, medical science is only beginning to understand the relationship between physical health and emotional well-being. And they say, the type A personality, highly driven, constantly anxious, often combative, and prone to overwork, has been linked to heart disease, reduced immune system function, and altered hormonal patterns. They said, there's increasing evidence, however, that an even more lethal force than high anxiety is high hostility, especially when that hostility is strongly repressed. According to Daniel Weinberger, PhD, a practicing psychotherapist and professor at Ohio's Case Western Reserve University, who presented a paper at the recent Centennial Convention of the American Psychological Association, APA, people who repress their anger and anxiety may be more prone to getting sick than those who worry a lot and seem to be off the scale on stress levels. So that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, well, of course, anybody who's got repressed emotions like, for anger, hostility, are obviously, it's going to have a lot of wear and tear on the body. I know that's a lot of my problem. I just repressed so much rage and so much anger for so long. I really recognized it at the age of 42 when I hit rock bottom, that I just had so much repressed emotions that's pretty well why I hit rock bottom, because I had never allowed myself to deal with the stuff. So it felt like a pressure cooker, you know, with the lid just about to explode off. And it was very hard to deal with. These things can, obviously, I mean, it's no wonder that they do happen. Not everybody would have a lot of anger, but some of us do. You know, not everybody would have a lot of rage, rage because of the abuse, but some of us do. And it's really hard to deal with. Absolutely. I did a lot of work with my inner children, and I think that's kind of what's helped me out to release some of this leftover residual anger, rage sort of connection type stuff. And it has helped me out a lot. And so I'm actually feeling a lot better physically, you know, not even just emotionally, or, you know, my it's not just my emotional well-being that feels better because of doing this inner child work. I also feel physically better because I'm actually dealing with some of this stuff that was actually causing me to, that was manifesting physically in my body. And I think that's kind of, my mother was also abused, you know, it's like my mother was my main abuser, but she was abused as a child. And I think that was one of her biggest problems, is that she, you know, I did the same thing, just repressed this anger, and then eventually it blows. And if you don't, you know, I think if we as you know, people on the planet don't properly deal with these issues and address them and take care of them and you get help with them, you know, we either hurt ourselves or we hurt somebody around us. And my mother just chose to hurt people around her and herself, right? Which is horrible, but it's true. And me, I don't want to hurt people around me, you know. I don't want to be like that. I try very hard not to be my parents. I work at it 24 hours a day, actually, not to be my parents. And so I don't want to hurt people around me. I don't want to hurt myself, you know. And so that's the difference, you know. And I, you know, my mother could have got help, right? It's not that she couldn't get help. She could have got help. She just chose not to. That's very horrible. So these things are very important. Very, very important. And I think most people would just say, oh, it doesn't matter. But it does. It really does. And this stuff is very dangerous. Over the long haul, you know, the wear and tear on a person's body and mind, and you know, and it's hard to come back from that, you know. I know that I'm exhausted, extremely exhausted. And I always tell my husband, it has nothing to do with work or our home life, because he's terminally ill, or anything like that. I was exhausted when I was like, I recognized that I was exhausted when I was a little kid, when I was about 10 years old. It just, you know, after a beating that I took, my mother gave me, that pretty well broke my nose, and it was just horrific. You know, I realized then that I was exhausted, and I was just like, oh God, you know. How long am I going to be able to do this? You know, at the age of 10. And so this is where I'm at. You know, I don't apologize for anything that, you know, I don't apologize for my situation of being out here and being a survivor of abuse. It wasn't my fault. And, you know, yeah, I said, you know, so I have to deal with this stuff. You know, it's an exhaustion that's way beyond anything I should have ever had to experience. And then by the time I was 20, 21, right in there, because I not only was abused, but then decided that the only way I could cope was drug use. By that time, I was so exhausted that literally my body was literally dying. And I could feel it. You know, I was falling asleep driving, and I was just, my body was losing weight, just dropping pounds, just not doing well, you know, And that was just all of that abuse and all of that trauma just eating away, you know, really tearing away at my body just because of what I had experienced. And absolutely horrible. I wish I would have got help then, right? Well, I did get off the drugs, which was very smart. So that's one of the best things I ever did. I got off the drugs. But I really, you know, didn't deal with any of my trauma-related abuse, you know, adult survivor issues until after the age of 42 when I was hit rock bottom. So this stuff is so damaging. It's not even funny. They talk about the next part of this is outer calm versus inner storm. And then we'll move on to the next part of this. The typical repressed person usually describes himself or herself as restrained, likely to think before acting, and not at all prone to depression or anxiety. Even in the most provoking situation, he or she appears to remain completely in control. But Weinberger and his colleagues found that these people had all the psychological responses characteristic of anger, which was, they list here, racing heart, rapid pulse, biochemical changes, even when they said they felt nothing. So, quote unquote, in every single case we looked at closely, it was not worrying that made people sick rather than anxiety, Weinberger said. Extreme control of hostility is linked to high heart rate and blood pressure, high levels of LDL cholesterol, all coronary risk factors. Finding a means to express emotion safely and non-destructively is a key means of dissipating stress, breaking through repression, excuse me, and improving health. Dean Ornish, MD, a cardiologist who discovered that a program including an extremely low-fat diet, moderate daily exercise, and other lifestyle changes may reverse coronary artery disease. Requires participants to join a support group to help them learn to express their emotions. And its research suggests that without the group, the other changes won't make a long-term difference in cardiac health. So that's interesting. And I agree with that completely because I know for myself, you know, once I started joining, I joined two anonymous groups when I first started my healing journey, online anonymous groups, because that's what I felt I could trust. And, excuse me. And really it did help because I had never allowed myself, you know, to even deal with this stuff, you know. I didn't go around considering myself to be a survivor of abuse, right? I never went around going, oh, you know, I was abused, you know, and this and that. And people sometimes would ask me about my past and if I happened to mention anything or if they mentioned something about something that happened in their lifetime, in their past, you know, then I would say something. And some people would want to know more, so I'd tell them, you know, a little bit more, you know, and stuff. But I never went around really so much the victim, and it was because I had it all repressed, right? And then once I had kind of hit rock bottom there at age 42, which is really bizarre, but it's that it happened so late like that, but it quite often does. I've heard that, read that, that I started to work through this stuff and realized, like, wow, you know, I've been dealing with life, you know, the best that I could, the best that I knew how, and I wish that I would have got help before because, you know, it's taken its toll on my body, on my mind, you know, just horrific, this stuff. And so I like what they have to say there, you know, without doing that support group, the other changes won't make a long-term difference in cardiac health. So, you know, eating right, daily exercise, you know, extremely low-fat diet and stuff. That doesn't even really, it probably helps, but it's not going to change the fact that the participant has these issues because of their inability to express their emotions, right? So joining a support group helps them do that, right? And I think that's kind of where I was, because once I started getting all this stuff out, and especially writing my blog, and it turned into my books, and doing these shows here on Blog Talk Radio, which I talked and talked and talked, you know, for years, that's actually really what I did, was just allow myself to say what I needed to say, you know, and get this stuff out. And it did help, absolutely helped me out a lot. So we'll pick up the next section of this on Friday. You can go and check it out for yourself, havoca.org, HAVOCA.org, and look under the Information for Survivors tab under Feelings. And the next one up is Reclaiming Emotions. So we'll look at that on Friday. So next up, I want to look at, positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of negatives all the time. You know, it's so easy to get down on ourselves, right? People do anyway. Don't have to be an abuse survivor to get down on yourself. So many times, you know, that's how people are, right? Because we all brought up in this, especially if you're born in North America, man, it's all about overachiever stuff, right? You know, how much can I multitask here? You know, it's like, well, it's easy to get down on ourselves and say, well, you know, I didn't get this done, and I didn't get this done, and I'm just a loser. And that just reinforces the issue that I can't do it, and I'm not, you know, capable, and I'm this or I'm that, whatever the issue is. Right? So instead of that, I thought, you know, we should look at some positives. What are we doing? What are we doing that we can say, what are we doing in our daily walk that was positive, you know? And I would say just the fact that we got up this morning, got out of bed, and decided to face the day is actually a really good positive, you know, especially for a Monday. more than that, it's just that we keep going. You know, we just keep going. We just have to keep picking ourselves up and going. That's the issue. That's what life is all about. It's not easy. It's not easy for anybody, you know? But especially if you've been abused, because from I shouldn't say everybody, but anybody who's been abused, you know, is kind of coming from behind the eight ball, you know. And so because we have to keep picking ourselves up off the ground, you know, I'd say that that's a pretty good positive. You know, we keep going. And, you know, every day just trying our best, you know, to do whatever we can to get things done or to help ourselves, to be good to ourselves, to be good to those around us, which I think is really important. And, you know, to have a decent life after abuse, right? Because this is the issue. You know, my mother, just for an example, just to give you an example, my mother, I mean, she had friends, you know? Like, she was abused as a child, and it was horrific, and grew up the oldest sibling trying to protect her other siblings from the abuse, and it took a lot of abuse because of that. She was just abused by her mother, right, terribly. And, you know, and then she married my dad, really. That's why I wrote my book, A Life of Death and Redemption, because I want, you know, I just basically spelled it all out there for everybody. You know, my dad was abusing her before they were even married, right? And then, you know, she stayed with him, right? And she had these moments, these little tiny moments of space in between the abuse where she would laugh or she would, you know, making cookies, baking cookies, or walking around doing something, talking with friends or whatever. She was, you know, she had these little momentary glimpses of, you know, or times where she was peaceful and happy about something. But it was very rare, you know. Mostly she was sitting around crying or angry or distraught about her past and about her life with her husband, about the situation with her children, which really was mainly my brother's, because so many traumatic things used to happen to my brothers all the time. And so, you know, just terrific. And so, you know, my point is with that, is that we as survivors of abuse, we have a choice to make every day, you know. And so what are we doing right in our walk? You know, I would say if you're getting up and you're just going again and you're doing the best you can to be good to yourself and be good to those around you, then you're doing a great job. That's what I have to say, because so many times people who have survived abuse then become abusers themselves, really, because they lash out at people around them, right, because they're hurting, right? So it's like, I'm hurting, so everybody else around me is going to hurt, right? That's how I grew up, right? So it's real easy. It would have been easy, actually, for me to fall into that trap, but I every day make the choice to not be my parents, right? When I wake up, I don't sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to be my parents today. It's just a built-in thing that I've created for myself that, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to be the opposite of my parents, you know, which is a caring person, which is a loving person, a kind person, you know, a person that doesn't want to hurt anybody else or myself, right? And wants to enjoy life, right? So if you're doing anything remotely close to that, then I think you're doing a great job. We need to look at these positives in our life, definitely. There's a piece of this article we were looking at from Affirmations, Getting Started Affirmations. It's a top tips from Havoca, Havoca. We looked at visualization and reminders, and next they're talking about writing power. So they said, this is a sort of top tips for what to do with how to get the most out of affirmations, I guess, right? Because positive affirmations can be very helpful. They can also be destructive if you pick stuff that doesn't really, if that you know is not true. For instance, for me to say, I'm a powerful person and I have a wonderful career and I'm going to be at the top of my career. You know, I don't even have a career. You know, for me to have some sort of an affirmation like that is just silly. We have to pick affirmations that actually make sense in our lives, right? So you have to be careful about affirmations. But what they're talking about here is writing power. A powerful way to enhance your affirmation work is to write them using first, second, and third person perspectives. So they said, write the affirmation 10 times in the first person. For instance, like, I, Lori Smith, am a happy, healthy, wholesome person. And next, write it 10 more times with the second person. You, Lori Smith, are a happy, healthy, wholesome person. And finally, write it 10 more times in the third person, from the third person. She, Lori Smith, is a happy, healthy, wholesome person. So this technique creates an affirmation not only from within your own self, but it provides a general statement from all people in the surrounding world. Add the pronoun we, and you are affirming something with all the world, group, or family. They said a note, the more powerful our positive affirmation work, the more likely it will stimulate any opposing ideas embedded in our thinking processes, like negative beliefs. One technique is to deal with this is to write them down as well, writing down our negative beliefs. Right? If you notice a negative thought as you are writing the positive affirmation, write it down on the next line. And they said awareness is change, and writing a negative response to an affirmation can increase awareness and clarity of what stands in the way. So simply exposing the negative belief to our awareness diminishes its power. So do this only during the first few days of any new affirmation work, then discontinue writing anything negative. It's only done, or they said, it's done only to achieve clarity and awareness, not with any repetition. So save some of your negative responses and go back to them later with some liquid paper and erase the negative belief and white over it with a positive affirmation. I like that. Visualization, right? They said, great visualization for correcting negative beliefs. So don't save them, but draw a line through them. And as soon as you write them down, striking them from your mind as soon as they come into it. So, for instance, any of these things that might come for personally for me, says, oh, I'm just useless. I'm an idiot. I'm a whore. This is the stuff that my mother used to tell me. I'm just useless. You know. I'm a rape child. You know, these horrible things, right? Any of this stuff, if it comes to me, if I'm doing positive affirmations and then some negative thing, you know, toxic thought tries to come back into my mind while I'm doing a positive affirmation type thing, then I can actually write it down and then put a line through it. And then, or cross it out, or white it out, and that sets up a visualization for my mind to realize that while I'm doing positive affirmations, that those negative beliefs don't have any business being there, basically, you know, and puts them away. So I think that's kind of nice. I like what they had to say there. That's pretty cool. And the next part we'll pick up on Friday, people power. And we'll see how far we can go. It's a quite lengthy article, actually, but it's really worth it. And then there's a section called positive self-talk that we'll look at that's very interesting. So right now, let's see, what do we want to look at? Self-care. What are we doing physically, spiritually, emotionally to care for ourselves? What can we do to work on, what can we work on to help ourselves? This is important for people. I know, especially for people who've survived of abuse, right? Because quite often, I mean, people who survived abuse don't, we weren't taken care of as children, so especially child abuse. So we don't take care of ourselves. You know, most people who were abused as children, not all, because this would not really fit with everybody's situation, and I know this, right, just from reading and listening and talking to other survivors. But some of us, grew up in homes where there was no self-care done, period. Nobody was doing any self-care. It was all self-medication. So it's kind of like, how many drugs can we do? What kind of drugs can we get a hold of? And as far as my siblings went, my mother did not take care of herself. And she really wasn't very good at taking care of the rest of us at all. And so she didn't set up a good example for us. And my dad was mentally ill, so he didn't set up, he was always trying to kill himself. See, they set this little, that's why we all try to kill ourselves, or we're thinking about it, right? So our parents set up this thing of die, death, you know, let things go, drugs, you know, whatever, you know. My parents were not drug users, but my dad was always popping prescription stuff, whatever he can get his hands on. So that's kind of where that all came from. But my mom was not a drug addict, and she just let herself go because of the abuse. I mean, you know, she was a victim, big time. And So I didn't really learn anything about self-care or what, how to even maintain, how to be able to maintain self-care. There's little periods in my life where if I was hanging around somebody who was doing a lot of self-care, then I would sort of pick it up, with them sort of thing, but on my own, no. So it's hard for me to remember to do these things, and I know I need to take better care of myself. And it's just like, what am I doing, even physically or even spiritually? Spiritually, not an issue, I'm working on that all the time, and I'm in such a spiritual excellent place that, I couldn't even really get any further there. I'm not sure if I could. I don't think it'd be possible. So that's probably what keeps me going. Emotionally, I'm doing a lot better. I do it because I'm working through stuff, so that's great. But physically, not really so good. So I'm trying to work on that, So I started eating healthier this summer, trying to eat some healthier foods, to try to incorporate some good stuff in there. It hasn't really made a difference yet because I just started doing it a few weeks ago. But and trying to get sleep and rest, which I don't really sleep properly. And that's all important, overall, for because I know if I'm tired, I'm not going to be thinking emotionally all that well, especially if I'm exhausted. And I am exhausted, like I said. I mean, I've been tired since I was like 10. I don't think it's a tiredness from just, I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's a, what do you want to call that? It's a, it's not even so much a body tired, it's a mental tired. You know what I mean? Just mental exhaustion. So I'm actually, working on that with the meditation stuff and whatnot. It takes time to do this stuff, right? We have to sort of recognize it first, right? So I've been sort of working on things, and I think that's important. Just to keep going, and do the best we can. I can't, nobody can be perfect at anything, and we can't, I mean, nobody could just make all of this stuff just better overnight. Otherwise, we all would, right? So we could all feel better, and, it'd be so nice to have that, to have that change in our lives, right? To walk, freely and healed, and that's kind of the goal, right? But it takes time. We have to recognize this, some of this stuff first before we can even work on it. And that's why I always tell people to reach out and get some help. Don't struggle on your own. Because I wish that I would have got help a long, long time ago, let me tell you. There's a, irvingstudios.com has this really awesome quilt square meditation section. And there's this next one is on self-worth. So they're little meditations and they have music with them and everything. If you go to his website, irvingstudios.com/child_abuse_survivor_monument, or you can just go to just type in Irving Studios Child Abuse Survivor Monument in your browser and it'll come up, and he's got a survivor tab there. Look at the info for survivors, and actually you'll find it under Child Abuse Survivor Monument, not so much under Irving Studios anymore. I think he changed his website. So just type into your browser Child Abuse Survivor Monument, that should come up. So what they say here, this is a meditation on self-worth. They say here, know you have value. You have survived and are better than what was done to you. Isn't that the truth? Know you have value. You have survived and are better than what was done to you. Oh, oh yeah, you know that. You can be proud of your courage, strength, and wisdom that comes from victory over adversity. That's awesome. We can focus on an image or event that helps you feel positive about yourself. Allow yourself a smile and feel your worth. And feel the presence of your natural self-worth in your heart and mind. And focus on a time that you felt worthy and positive. And reflect on someone who sees you in a positive light. And trust you are worthy and always have been. I like that. That's awesome. So that's our little section on self-worth. But that's something a person could do, is like a little visualization with meditation, if you're into that. I like that sort of stuff with my inner children. And, you can have some music going, something nice, right? These things are very, very important, but you can't, it doesn't do any good if we don't believe them. So we have to get, you have to find something within yourself that says, yeah, I'm worth it. I am worth it. I do matter. I do count. That's what I did. And I'm so glad that I did, because it gave me it took the power away from my abusers and put it in my corner. You know what I mean? So I'm the victor in this, right? I win because I am worth it. I do count. I do matter. They couldn't kill me, right? So, yeah, we'll pick up the rest of this on Friday, and I hope that you have a wonderful week, And just, you just go at your own pace, keep reaching out. Keep looking for that help wherever you can find it. Go to NASCA, NAASCA.org. NASCA, NAASCA.org. That's the National Association for Adult Victims of Child Abuse. Or, no, National Association for Survivors of Child Abuse. That's a great website. And NASCA is really, it's a team of people, but really kind of started by Bill Murray. And it's sort of a team of people that work together. They call it, it's like a family, right? These people are awesome. Go there, check out the website, especially for survivors of abuse. You will find a lot of information there. Very, very helpful. I used to kind of, years and years ago, you know, I used to do more advice and more information about what was out there, right? But that is here on Blog Talk Radio as SCAN, S-A-C-S-C-A, and SCAN, Stop Child Abuse Now, put out by Bill Murray NASCA. And team. So they have a panel of different panelists that come on throughout the week, right? And they have nights where they deal with survivor issues. They have nights where they deal with child abuse prevention issues. Other nights, I mean, you just have to see what they have a lot of stuff going on there. So make sure you go there and check it out. It's really helpful, I think, for survivors of abuse. Very helpful for me. Very helpful for others. So whatever you do, take care of yourself, you know, be good to yourself. If you can't cope, you call a crisis line. But you do whatever you have to do, you know, to make sure that you stick it out. You know, you certainly deserve better. We all did, right? Did nobody, no child deserves to be abused. How could we? There's no way. So then why allow ourselves to go down because of the abuse? That's just not right, you know. You make sure you get some help. And you do deserve it. Whatever it is, anonymous, you try a counselor, therapist, you know, or a crisis line. But whatever it is, you make sure you get some help. And we'll talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye.